You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. New York City, recovering from the pandemic, awaiting the recession. And I welcome Harry Siegel, a columnist at the New York Daily News, also writing for the Daily Beast, also a senior editor at The City, watching Manhattan and all of the boroughs for recovery. We go to remarks by the mayor and the governor in these last days about the recovery of New York and the plans ahead for the whole city to enjoy a sudden bounty, something consistent with the imagination of people thinking Gotham was the city of the future. And yet, Harry, I come to you with optimism. I agree that New York has gone through bad patches and recovered. I entered New York in the 1970s, and it was a bad patch, Harry, and it recovered, and it was glistening by the turn of the century, and then 9/11, and then it recovered. So I don't at any point believe that it won't happen again. And yet, the mayor is proposing, one of his aides, Dan Doktoroff, is proposing what appears to be a citywide version of the Hudson Yards. What does that mean, Harry? Good evening to you.
Hey, good evening, John. So the mayor and the governor, who are both Democrats and are trying publicly at least to stay closely aligned, turned to Dan Doktoroff, who was a very powerful deputy mayor under Mike Bloomberg, to co-chair this panel that's put out a vision focused on the business districts for the quote, new New York. And that, in effect, is a look at the challenges ahead and following the pandemic for central business districts where office occupancy is way down since the pandemic, and to argue for something closer to a 24/7 future. And of course, with people living as well as working there. Some of that, in fact, did happen downtown after 9/11 in its remarkably rapid recovery. All that said, the idea that we have this old baseline of how many people came to work 5 days a week and that's going to be restored at some point seems increasingly unlikely. And if that's not the case, if some people are coming 3 days a week, some people can work entirely remotely, have jobs in the city where they can live somewhere else and maybe come in once every couple of weeks or things like that, that's a pretty profound challenge and shift for New York City, a place that's been defined by density and by people needing to be here or needing to be close enough that they can be here every day during the work week. This administration is just beginning to grapple with.
The Bloomberg News reports San Francisco, the Salesforce Tower, a dominant feature in the landscape, is now showing a smattering of people, nothing like the days before the pandemic. But San Francisco has other problems that might lead to people not wanting to go into the center city. And Bloomberg News then looks at London and Dublin, certainly cities that are not weighed down by homelessness or the vicissitudes of California life. And there, too, the large tech companies are letting go their office towers because high interest rates, work from home, and the recession. So is New York an outlier, or is this just a global trend that New York needs to ride out?
This is clearly a challenge for the biggest, densest cities. And of course, these cities aren't that old. In the West, these are basically, places that came of age in the 19th century. the idea of having cities of 500,000 or a million people, and now we're talking 7, 8, 10 million. New York had just hit 9 with this last census before many people with the means to do so left during the pandemic. So the same forces that help draw people to these cities as transportation and communication improved, some of those forces are now helping people exit those cities. And if they don't, it doesn't mean they necessarily, of course, go away or anything like that. But if fewer people and fewer people with options and means really have to be there to make the sort of money they do and live the sort of lives they've had to this point, the implications for how the city functions, its tax base and its population are significant. And I do think that's a global issue right now. You know, hypothetically, people have been talking about this for a century, but the emergence of Zoom in particular and people realizing during the pandemic they really didn't need to have arduous commutes 5 days a week is a significant shift.
You point to an H.G. Wells essay, 1901, 120 years ago. He saw the future. Is this where we are right now, the probable diffusion of great cities?
It appears to be. It appears that the Wells, who was predicting that imminently 120 years ago, was ahead of his time, well ahead of his time, ahead of his whole lifetime, in fact. One other thing he notes in that essay, where he says that people's centripetal considerations, like wanting to have good schools nearby, doctors, shopping, and a love of the crowd, would eventually be undone by centrifugal ones. And in the course of that, he basically, in 1901, predicts Amazon. He says, in relation to London, almost all the labor of ordinary shopping can be avoided, goods ordered and sent to any place within 100 miles, and in one day examined, discussed, and returned, at any rate in theory. And he says, this allows for one vast, quote, indiscriminate shop or store full of respectable, mediocre goods, as excellent a thing for housekeeping as it is disastrous to taste and individuality. And that didn't happen in 1901. But much of that is the case now, and it presents real questions for how big and how significant centers and center cities like New York and Manhattan and its office districts will be going forward.
Hudson Yards, I lived there for a couple of years. It's sparkling. It's high-end. It combines fabulous office towers with a lot of open spaces. None of that shut-up offices stuff. Long corridors with residences, both rental and purchase and hotels. Is that what New York wants to do, Harry? Is that what Mayor Adams and his planners want for us?
Yes, but it's not clear that there's a market for that among New Yorkers. Hudson Yards lost its anchor tenant. The retail is not doing great. The residential part is half empty. It's extremely expensive. Its signature attraction or piece of public art or whatever, which is a staircase to nowhere, is indefinitely closed after many people used it to commit suicide. And so Dan Doctoroff, who is the guy behind one of the guys behind this new New York plan, is the guy who named Hudson Yards, who has what Bloomberg called a luxury product vision of the city. It thinks that the more of that, that hair of the dog, if you will, is the answer for New York and its office districts. And I am not convinced that's the case going forward. But if it's not, there are real questions instead of gentrification and displacement concerns, shrinkage and diminishment concerns about what happens to the city and its tax base going forward if we don't have these dense corridors of commercial and residential affluence.
Your projection for 2023, not 120 years, 1 year, is New York in recovery mode, Harry, or do we need to wait another year?
I'm hoping New York staggers through and continues to recover the jobs it lost during the pandemic. The country as a whole has more than recovered those. New York is still significantly behind. We've had population loss and school loss. And if we can continue to catch some of that up over this coming year, I'd be very relieved.
Harry Siegel, who writes a column at the New York Daily News and reads his H.G. Wells very carefully. I'm John Nash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com.
Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.